I don't know why, but March has really intrigued me. It has a lot of awareness observances. And, you know, it can be kind of hard to track what's the most important to note, especially when it comes to those health awareness events. So we know that March is colon cancer awareness month, as well as kidney cancer awareness month. But I also saw on there that multiple myeloma awareness month is also the month of March. But I have to confess, I actually, until I did some research, I had no idea what myeloma even was. And so I'm really excited today to learn more about it and certainly get the information out there to you as well. And who better to talk to than one of our Yale docs here on WICC? We are talking today for the first time to Dr. Natalia Naparzi. Dr. Naparzi, thank you so much for giving us your time. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And thanks for inviting.
Of course. And give us an idea, if you don't mind, Dr. Naparzi, how long have you been working with myeloma patients?
About 17 years. I've been on faculty at Yale since 2012, treating patients with myeloma.
Wow. Okay. First of all, this probably seems very elementary to ask. What is myeloma? I had never even really heard of it.
So myeloma is a type of blood and bone marrow cancer. It is relatively less common compared to some of the other cancers like breast cancer, but it is the second most common blood cancer after non-Hodgkin lymphoma. So there are about 38,000 individuals every year diagnosed in the United States with this diagnosis. And it develops from a type of white blood cell called a plasma cell that sits in the bone marrow. And it's very indolent and silent in the beginning stages. There are precancer stages of myeloma. And eventually, when it progresses to a clinically active cancer, it can be quite devastating, leading to bone disease, kidney failure, severe anemia, low blood counts, and frequent infections.
That's terrible. I know when I was reading from the American Association for Cancer Research, it was talking about like what you were saying, you know, forming tumors, for example, which could be so, so scary because, again, it can keep the bone marrow from making enough blood cells, healthy ones. It can weaken your bones, just to name some of the things that are really scary with this. And as I mentioned before having you on, Dr. Naparzi, I did a little bit of research. On the American Cancer Society website, I thought maybe I haven't heard about this much because it's kind of rare. But when you look at it, it says, as of January of 2024, when you look at their estimates, it says in the United States, the average lifetime risk of getting multiple myeloma is about 1 in 103 for men and about 1 in 131 for women. Now, of course, there's obviously higher risks for other cancers, but that's still relatively, it sounds high when you talk about how many people are in America. That those seem like still kind of risky odds.
I agree. It's quite prevalent, and yet it is less well advertised compared to some of the other cancer diagnoses. And considering the fact that we are unable to completely cure myeloma, we are achieving substantial progress in the field. So more and more individuals are living with the diagnosis.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that was going to be eventually a question I got to, which is either is it curable / are you able to live with it? So you are able to live effectively even if you have myeloma.
Yes. So in the historical literature, the prognosis was quoted to be around 3 to 5 years of life expectancy. However, the field has changed dramatically over the course of last two decades with the advent of multiple new drugs. And so we are able to achieve almost like a functional cure or operational cure where individuals may live with this diagnosis over 10 years, 15 years, sometimes up to 20 years.
Wow.
So it is very encouraging to have this progress in the field.
Yeah, it certainly is. And so there are a lot of new drugs, you're saying, in recent years. Are these really it sounds like prolong your life, but there's no reverse once you have it?
Unfortunately, once it's diagnosed at a currently defined clinically active myeloma stage, which is usually leading to disseminated bony lesions like metastatic tumor deposits in the bones, it is hard to completely cure. Myeloma after initial treatment can go into complete remission. Stay in remission for several years, but invariably, sooner or later, almost 100% of patients will experience relapse, recurrence. And we are still effectively able to treat these individuals and prolong their survival, but in many cases, it does come back.
We're talking about myeloma this morning because March is actually Multiple Myeloma Awareness Month. It's also Myeloma Action Month, and it's really bringing awareness to this type of cancer, but also bringing awareness to some of the very common questions people may have about this, because people don't even know it really exists, or maybe they don't know that they are at risk, at a higher risk, or that they have symptoms of it. And so that's why we are getting into the nitty-gritty of this with Dr. Natalia Naparzi with Yale. And so, Dr. Naparzi, let's talk about the most common questions you probably get about myeloma. First of all, what are the risk factors? What puts you at a higher risk of getting diagnosed with myeloma?
Of course, Melissa. The risk factors are vaguely defined. We know that prior radiation exposure is associated with risk of myeloma, as well as overweight state, obesity, diabetes, and metabolic changes have been linked to the increased risk of myeloma. But by and large, for each individual patient, we generally don't know why this individual developed myeloma. And we recognize that there may be slight familial predisposition with slightly increased risk among family members. However, we don't think this as a strongly familial disorder. We do have families where there could be more than two individuals diagnosed with the same diagnosis across the generations.
Wow. Okay. So that's kind of scary. What about when people get diagnosed? Is this something you typically see in older adults, or do you see it, you know, even with younger people?
So generally and historically, the diagnosis of myeloma is a disease of the elderly after age 60 and 65. However, we do have a substantial number of younger individuals, and those may be related to familial predisposition, or they may be related to increased obesity pandemic in the United States or increased risk of diabetes. So we and other investigators are trying to research these questions and answer them and potentially come up with preventive interventions. As far as the screening for this disease, as you had asked before, there's not a well-established standardized guideline for screening for myeloma. It is not generally recommended. However, the disease can be picked up early if an individual makes sure that they go to their primary care physician yearly, which all adults must do, and making sure that complete blood counts are checked, that metabolic panel with kidney function and electrolytes and other globulins and albumin and other tests are performed each year as part of health maintenance screening.
So, you know, you actually bring up a really great point, Dr. Naparzi, and that is getting blood tests, right? You're saying you've got to make sure you get your blood tested.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So the reason I think that's such a great point, I just got a new primary care physician who I adore. Super thorough. And one of the things that I really loved about him and his practice is that he basically requires you, I mean, he can't force it, but he basically requires his patients to have their blood done, have your blood drawn a couple days before your next appointment. What I love about it, though, is with past doctors, they'll say, here, we'll give you the paperwork, just, you know, go set it up, you know, all of that. He does it for the patient. So he'll say, he'll sit on the phone with you for 5 minutes, as if you guys aren't busy enough. He will sit on the phone, say, you know, here's where you live, here are the closest locations, what's a time frame that works, and he will make the appointment for his patients. And one of the reasons he has said that I do this is because more times than not, people will go to their checkups, they'll do their annual checkups, but they're not getting their blood drawn every year. They're not having their blood tested every year. And all of a sudden, you think, okay, well, I am checking with my primary doctor every single year. I'm doing what you asked. But if you're not getting your blood tested, it's you're sort of missing a huge component with those yearly checkups.
Absolutely. And wonderful that you have such an excellent primary care clinician, Melissa. I would like to reiterate the importance of getting blood work each year to make sure that all the routine blood tests are performed, that somebody reviews them. And the importance is in that, you know, some of the times when myeloma gets diagnosed, when it's too far gone, patients can be really in critical condition with acute surgery, you know, requiring hemodialysis sometimes for the end-stage kidney insufficiency, as well as having critical fractures of some of the bones requiring active surgery. And if this is checked early, potentially can prevent deadly complications.
Wow. And you sort of answered my last question, which were symptoms. It seems like you have to go through something, I don't want to say traumatic, but definitely something major, unless you get a blood test done. It seems like you have to go through something for it to be detected. So like you said, either a broken bone or something, or maybe you're in for another procedure and it's detected, right? I mean, I don't know if you could feel your bones weakening, right? It's not like you have symptoms for this.
Correct. The opportunity is in early diagnosis, because in the early stages, myeloma can be quite silent and may show up on some of the routine blood tests in the form of low red cell count, the anemia, or in the form of slight impairment of the kidney in an early phase. Whereas if patients are not followed, they may go all the way to the critical stage where they require hospitalization. So there is an opportunity in early diagnosis and screening, and getting lab work, blood work each year can potentially catch this condition early when the person is in a relatively good health. In terms of symptoms, when the symptoms start with myeloma, usually the diagnosis can be sometimes far gone. Mm-hmm. They may be in the form of bony pain, like bone pain, back pain, hip pain. There could be unintentional weight loss. There could be frequent infections, numbness and tingling, weakness in the legs, or changes in the urination. So if individuals have some unexplained symptoms, like unexplained back pain or other areas of pain, it's important to seek attention and see your primary care clinician to get the blood work.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I hate to confess it, because as a reporter, especially with all the doctors I talk to on a weekly basis, it's probably really embarrassing to come right out and say, I need a doctor to make that appointment. But we make so many excuses for, you know, I'm fine. I feel fine. I don't need to get my blood drawn every year. This is unnecessary. This is a precaution I don't need. But I feel like I'm letting my doctor down if he went through the effort of making me an appointment and calling me and everything. So I show up, it's on my calendar, I go. But if you put the responsibility on me, more times than not, I used to never make that appointment. And so if you fall under that category, see if you can find either a doctor or even a family member who will do it. And again, I know it sounds lazy, but when you hear about, and myeloma is just one, but there are so many reasons that it's really important to have your blood tests done every single year. It's not enough just to go to your primary care physician. So I really appreciate you highlighting that, not just for, again, myeloma, but for many other reasons to include that with your yearly checkups. And Dr. Naparzi, I want to thank you for what you do professionally in helping so many patients with myeloma across Connecticut, and for your work at Yale for so many years. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Melissa. Have a good day.
You too. Dr. Natalia Naparzi, again with Yale, and has been working with myeloma patients for 17 years now, and is a proud doctor at Yale. And we thank her so much for sharing all this very important information. A lot of it I had no idea about until I started doing a little bit of research, and even now learning an awful lot from her right here on the show.